Thanks for checking out the Lakeshore Podcast. If this is your first time listening with us, we want you to know God loves you. We want for your hope in Jesus to be renewed and for your faith to come to life. Wherever you are joining us from, we hope this message encourages you.
Tracking with the series, we've been on a series about the Holy Spirit, and in this particular segment, particularly about the power that He brings to our life. And we've talked about what that power is, because there's a lot of misunderstanding and a lot of confusion and a lot of misperception about what that looks like and how it's demonstrated. So we just went back to the scripture. We've talked about why Jesus, listen carefully, commanded us. It was not really an option, even though in today's Christian world, it's presented optionally. But in Jesus' New Testament rendering, it was not an option. He commanded us to get the Holy Spirit in our lives and to make sure to access His power. And then we talked about how to access it, and we've been going through that to make it as practical and as relevant, to demystify it, to kind of peel away all of the trappings that get stacked up on top of it, so we can come back and say, oh, that's what it is, and that's what it's supposed to work. Well, we're going to talk about it again today, the power of the Holy Spirit and why it's important in our life. But you can't study the New Testament power of the Holy Spirit without talking about speaking in tongues. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. Now, some of you, as soon as I say that, you might be going, oh man, here we come. Pastor Gil, you've been talking to us about inviting other people and encouraging people to come, and we're finally stepping out and do that, and you got to pull this thing out, speaking in tongues. I mean, because that's kind of weird for some people, and for some people, they've had bad experiences. I've met a lot of people here in the Bible Belt that have actually been taught directly or at least indirectly that tongues is weird, tongues is not for today, tongues is dangerous. You kind of want to stay away from all that stuff. And so so if you're here, then let me just remind you what I've said a couple of times in this series. I'm going to say this again. This is the perfect place for you to be. You didn't make a mistake by coming this morning, whether you're part of the family or you're just kind of relatively new. This is the perfect place for you to be, because I promised you from the beginning, and I will continue to promise you all the way through, I will never create a scenario that will make you feel awkward, that will make you feel intimidated or somehow backed into a corner or you're trapped. That'll never happen here. But instead, we're going to keep walking through the scriptures, and we're going to learn, like this morning, what speaking in tongues is and what it's not. We're going to look at some of the real-time benefits that we get as a Christian if we'll understand and we'll receive the ability to speak in tongues. And here's the good news for those of you that are kind of on the fence and skeptical. If you still don't buy in after walking through the scriptures, that's between you and the Lord. And I don't mean that in any kind of a condemning or a judging way. I just mean that in a scriptural reality. You can be saved and not speak in tongues. Now, Jesus is really clear about how He felt about it. He said, no, don't do that. You need the Holy Spirit and all that He has to offer. But you can be saved and not speak in tongues, and so you'll never feel any pressure from me. But if you still don't buy in after walking through this series, here's the benefit that I want to make sure you're aware of. At least you'll know what and who that you're not buying into. At least you'll be really clear about what the scriptures say, and you won't be pushing back from something that was just a demonstration that wasn't comfortable for you or a bad experience. I don't want you taking some caricature about the Holy Spirit and that becoming what causes you to say, yeah, that's not for me. I want you to see how Jesus introduced it and what He intended for you to have and how He intends for it to work. And then if you don't buy into it, well, that's okay. We're still going to love you. You can still be part of this church and this family, because we're just not going to step overboard with that. Now, let me kind of set up an illustration so we can walk into this. We've been talking about Bolivia. You've mentioned it several times. You've been hearing about it for weeks and weeks and weeks, and we're on the backside of it. Let me just give you one little broad overview that won't be new and insightful, but hopefully it'll tie this morning. When we were in Bolivia, I realized all over again, I do every single time I go, that there's a language barrier. I want so desperately. I see familiar faces now, and I'm talking to them through Jim or Janelle or some other person that can translate. And so we've got a little bit of connection, but I can see the difference between Jim and Janelle or anybody else who speaks fluent Spanish and how they're able to connect, and those relationships over the years I've watched have just deepened and have become more and more warm and receptive. And they're always warm and receptive to me and all of the team. But it's different when you can communicate in a common language. In that same respect, God wants to make sure that we have an opportunity to communicate at a spiritual or a depth or a level with Him, that if you're just using any of the human languages, or I'll be bold enough to say all of the human languages combined, you will not be able to connect at the heart and to fellowship or to talk back and forth with Him at a deep enough level. So God gives us this gift, and it's the language of the Spirit. In fact, let me just define speaking in tongues this way. Speaking in tongues is the supernatural ability to pray and to praise God using languages, listen to this, that are human and heavenly. But here's the other kicker. This is a language that you've never learned, and you really don't understand it while you're speaking it. Now, I don't think I could have said anything that is more confusing than that. And you might be thinking, that makes no sense at all. But let me just stop and help you to remember, when you're stepping into Christianity, there's a lot of things that you find out about being a Christian that makes no sense to your natural mind. There's tons of things. That's what this whole idea of faith is. I mean, when you first start seeing in the scripture that there's a real legitimate place that everybody on the planet Earth has already gone to or is going to go to one day, two legitimate places called heaven and another one called hell, and that's not just a metaphor, that's not just an idea. They're literal legitimate places that people are going to live for the rest of eternity. You can't wrap your rational mind around that. And while we're talking about eternity, what about the fact that once we leave this life, we're going somewhere, and we're going to live in that somewhere forever? You can't compute that with your time-stamped brain. How about the omnipresence of God? That God is everywhere all the time, that He's the supreme ruler over the entire universe. He's the beginning, He's the end, and yet at the same time, He's your very personal Savior, and His Spirit lives inside of you. You see, these are things in Christianity that we've learned to understand or we've learned to accept, but we can't rationalize it with our brain. And if you're in that trail and you can begin to see that there are already things that you've accepted as a Christian, or things that if you're chasing or if you're pursuing a relationship with Christ, you're already having to wrestle through. Well, let me just add to the list all things Holy Spirit. All things that involve the Holy Spirit have to be understood and embraced by faith. But here's what I want you to recognize. Just because you can't understand it doesn't mean it's not true. Just because you can't rationalize it and explain it and calculate it doesn't mean it's not true. Again, there are lots of things that you understand or that you've already embraced that you can't quite explain, many of them inside of the Christian faith if you are a Christian. And so here's what I want to do. The first thing I want to do, I want to give you just a few scriptures, and this is not comprehensive, that will help you to understand what I described as speaking in tongues, whether it's kind of, you can wrap your rational brain around it or not, it's still true. The Bible talks about it in very defined language. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 says, if I could speak in all the languages of the earth and, everybody say and of angels. So there's two different sets of languages. One type of language are the languages on the earth, and you can learn those. There's a whole other type of language that we don't have any, you know, Rosetta Stone to, and that's the languages that are in heaven, the languages the angels speak. He says, if we could speak all those languages, but we didn't love each other, we'd only be a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. One chapter later in 1 Corinthians 14:2, listen to what he says. For if you have the ability to speak in tongues, this is that divine language, you will be talking only to God, since people won't be able to understand you. This is not something that you can understand when you're speaking in the spiritual language. It's not something that you can understand, nor can anybody around you understand. You will be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will all be mysterious. Now again, just because your rational, natural brain can't wrap around it doesn't mean it's not true. We've spent time since preschool all the way through elementary and middle school and high school and some of us college and graduate degrees learning to perfect and expand the English language. Some of you picked up a second, maybe a third, maybe other languages, but all of those you've learned how to speak them and then you became more and more eloquent. The language of the Spirit is one that even if you wanted to, you can't study this and learn it. You just can't. And I know that makes no sense to your brain. It didn't make any sense to mine either. But it's those things that you embrace by faith. Let me show you something right there in that last scripture, 1 Corinthians 14:2. At the very end, it says, it will all be mysterious. Comes from the Greek word mysterion, and we see it over and over in the New Testament. Talks about salvation being part of the mystery of God, the grace, the favor of God being part of the mystery of God, the love and the mercy of God being part of the mystery of God. And here he's talking about speaking in tongues being part of the mercy of God. But the mysterion, the mystery of the New Testament of the Spirit, it's one of those things called a supra logical truth, not super logical, which means it's highly logical. It means supra logical, which means it's not in the realm of logic. This is a whole nother level of learning, but it defines this way. It's a truth that can't be explained or understood by human reasoning. It can only be accepted by faith to those who believe what God divinely reveals. And so we could say it in a more practical way that this is counterintuitive. It's not something your brain is going to walk you down this trail and say this is how to do it. It's counterintuitive, and it's something that doesn't seem relevant. It doesn't even seem possible. I mean, your brain starts like, what in the world? It doesn't seem possible. But like many other things in Christianity, if you'll accept what God is saying as true, if you'll open up your heart by faith and begin to practice it, you'll find that it makes all the difference. Some of you have already done this with other areas. For example, I've talked to a bunch of people in this church about the principle of tithing. Talk about counterintuitive. Lord, we want you to bless and increase our resources. Okay, here's what I want you to do. Before you do anything else, every time resource comes in, you take the top 10% and you give it right back to the Lord. We're going the wrong way. I want you to give me more, and you're saying start giving some away so that I have less. And that's counterintuitive. Mathematically, it doesn't work, but the Bible says, no, no, you don't understand. This is a covenant principle with God. If you'll honor him with the first fruits that come in, then God says, if you can trust me with 10%, I can bless the other 90% and I can begin to increase that. And I'm telling you, we have testimonies all over this church. I'm one of them starting that God is faithful to do things that we don't think that he can or he will do, but we just trust him and he does it. And speaking in tongues is one of those beneficial things. Now again, 1 Corinthians 14, listen to verses 14 and 15. It says, for if I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying, but I don't understand what I'm saying. Well then, this is Paul asking a question, what shall I do? Listen to this. He says, I will pray in the Spirit, and I will also pray in words that I understand. And I will sing in the Spirit, and I will also sing in words that I understand. So I want you to recognize in the New Testament, this is not a kind of a weird, obscure, mysterious thing. This is right in the heartbeat of our communication with the Lord. And it's all through the New Testament. God talks about it pretty freely through Paul and through some of the other apostles. And we need to begin to learn to see it. Just because we can't understand how to do it with our brain doesn't mean it's not real and doesn't mean it's not beneficial. In fact, I'm going to talk to you about that. Now, let me kind of back up and just kind of look at the subject of tongues, because there are a number of different approaches to this in Christendom as a whole. And you might have gone to a church that teaches a little bit differently, but let me just bottom line it. I can't get super in detail in just the short amount of time. But most scholars agree that tongues is relevant for today. And when I say most, I'm talking the high 90%. There's only a very, very small few amount of people that are trying to explain tongues away and say they're just not even for today. They happen one time in the Bible, but that's not true anymore. But most, I mean, high percentage agree they're still relevant for today. But the primary controversy kind of splits in two questions. The first question is, who are tongues for? Are they for every single believer? Does every single believer get the opportunity to receive this ability to speak directly to God in a heavenly language? Or are they only for a select number of individuals that the Holy Spirit gets to decide one of those two things? Now, we don't have time to defend that this morning, but let me be very clear so you know where we come from. At Lakeshore, we are absolutely unflinchingly confident that the New Testament teaches that speaking in tongues, or you might have heard it called a prayer language, is available to every believer who wants to receive it by faith. Everybody. It's what we need this to be able to communicate on a deeper level with God. We'll talk more about that. In fact, we base this broadly on the fact that in Acts chapter 2, we see that when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, it says that all that were there, every one of them, not just here and there, but every one of them were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and every one of them spoke in this heavenly language that we now, what the Bible calls tongues. Not only that, when you leave chapter 2 and you go through the rest of the book of Acts, in fact, the rest of the New Testament, you'll find that is consistent. Anybody who wanted to receive the gift of tongues, anytime that subject came up and people began to open up and say, we want that, we want to be able to communicate with God like that, all of them were able to speak in tongues. It's either clearly spelled out or it is unmistakably inferred in the context, and so that we believe that. In fact, listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 8. Paul writes, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Now, that's interesting you should say that, because one thing it tells us is that many, I'll say all of them, but we'll certainly say many or most of them spoke in tongues. Because if they didn't, that would be very unfair. That would be a very unrighteous statement to make, where Paul is being braggadocious or egotistical because the Holy Spirit's gifted him with the language of tongues, but not all of these common people. But he wasn't trying to illustrate that. He was saying, tongues is a wonderful benefit. In fact, I speak in tongues more than all you guys. He wasn't bragging. He was showing the relevance in the context of the verse, how important it is that Paul used it, needed it, and used it often. Here's the second question is, once you understand that everybody has the right, every Christian rather has the right to receive it by faith, the next question that becomes kind of controversial is, well, then where is it used? Is it something that we use in our personal lives, or it's something that we use in kind of church or small group or corporate settings? And again, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 walks all through this, but I just want to be really clear. We believe that scriptures teach you use it in both. It's demonstrated all the time in each of those contexts and sometimes in both. And so we don't have time to talk about the corporate use today. We'll get to that. But we're going to talk today about the personal use, and this is where I'm going to give you three benefits of what it means to speak in tongues. Now, as I'm giving these benefits, we'll talk more about what tongues is and how it gets worked out and demonstrated in your life. And so let me give you the first one. Speaking in tongues helps us to pray and praise beyond the limitations of our natural mind. Speaking in tongues helps us to pray and praise beyond the limitations of our natural mind. If you like to turn in your Bible, look at Romans 8:26. If you're not turning there, at least write that reference down, because this is a really important verse. But I'll tell you on the front side, this verse is pretty complex. It's not meant to be difficult for people to understand, but it's meant to come with a lens that recognizes that the Holy Spirit and all that he brings, including the gift of speaking in tongues, is relevant, and then it kind of unfolds itself. But in order to kind of use this to qualify, I'm going to unpack the verse a little bit so you can see exactly what the Apostle Paul is teaching the church that was in Rome. Here's what it says, verse 26, and the Holy Spirit helps us. Now, let me just stop right there. That two-word phrase, helps us, is a very important compound Greek word, and it literally means to partner with us to stand against something that's challenging us. To partner with us to stand against something that's challenging us. And so he says, the Holy Spirit helps us or partners with us to stand against something that's challenging us. And notice when he helps us in our weakness. And this particular Greek word is another interesting word because it's the Greek word that represents not just whatever it is we're struggling, the challenge we're struggling with, but it also represents what that is doing to us. How that's caused our emotions to fray, how it's caused our confidence to begin to diminish, how it's caused our strategy or what we were going to do to have to be altered and changed because something is pressing back against us as we're trying to move forward in life. And so the verse says the Holy Spirit comes and he partners with us against whatever's pressing back against us. And he does it in the moment that press, that weightiness of the challenge is causing us to go the wrong direction. We're getting weaker. We're getting frazzled. We're feeling emotionally and in every other way vulnerable. And that's when the Holy Spirit comes and he steps in. And then Paul goes on and says, for example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. Now, you have to understand that first part to understand that statement. Because if you're like me, you've been in a ton of situations that this thing starts kind of unfolding and you think you're trying to handle it. Well, we'll do this and this and that didn't work. Okay, well, then we'll do this and that didn't work. And the problem's getting worse and more complex and the time is ticking and the weightiness is coming. And you can get to a point very quickly when you have no idea what to do. In fact, you don't even know how to pray. You'll sit there and you're kind of numb. Or you'll go in and you'll just begin to weep, or you'll begin to say, God, help me, God, help me, God, help me, because you don't know what else to do. Your emotions have become so taxed and so compressed that your vocabulary just kind of evaporates and you don't know what to do. And the Holy Spirit says, yeah, I get it. And when you're in that kind of position and you don't even have the words to express what's going on in your heart or what's going on in your life, you need to understand the Holy Spirit comes in that moment and he comes to partner with you to stand. I don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us. Now, this is a confusing thing to a lot of people. Because when it comes to praying in the Spirit or to interceding, there are some people that say, nope, see right there, it says he prays for us, so I don't have to do anything. But that's because they're disconnecting what we've already learned in the first part of the verse. Paul was kind of putting two sides of a coin together to show them how this process is in their life in a very relevant way. When they're feeling the press, when they're at their weakest, when they don't know how to think about it, much less how to talk and pray about it anymore, the Holy Spirit will come and partner with them against that thing that's going on. He'll stand in the gap and he'll begin to lift and move them and move them up. And it says he prays for us. Really, other translations say he comes to pray with us. But let's just say with this, he prays for us. You say, how does he do that? He prays for us by partnering with us, by joining us in that prayer time. And notice this, it goes on to tell us how he does that. It says with or through or using groanings that cannot be expressed. Now, the words groanings is a really crazy, tricky word in the Greek, but for us to explain, but it really just means this. It means guttural sounds. It means moanings. You ever come across somebody, or maybe you've experienced this, where whatever's going on is so deep and so painful that you just kind of curl up in the fetal position and you're crying, but in your cry, you can hear the moan. It's indicating something is really deep, really deep. You can also see it on the other side when someone's so excited and they don't know what to say. They're like, you're just hearing the sound come out. And it's communicating something that's going on, but it's not communicating it in a vocabulary. He's saying there are things that happen in our life that are so deep and that are so complex that we don't have words to express them, but we find other ways to communicate what's going on there. In fact, let me read you a couple of translations. The English Standard Version says, with groanings that are too deep for words. The Orthodox Jewish Bible says, groans that are not intelligibly uttered. And another Greek scholar that was unpacking this in great depth, he said this, these are sounds that cannot be directly translated into any known language. Now again, if we're just thinking spiritual, you can kind of keep that as really, I can't wrap my head around it. But if you step out of that for a moment and just get really, really real and practical, every one of you have experienced it. Every one of us have been there. We know exactly what Paul's talking about. We know exactly what the Holy Spirit's describing. You get to those points in life where the language that you've studied and you know is not big enough, where your mind cannot wrap itself around and you're not big enough. You get to those points in life and you're trying to find a way to describe. In fact, we've already read it, but that's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:14. When I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying. I don't understand what I'm saying. Sometimes because I can't understand what I'm trying to say. This thing's too big and too deep. Now, let me give you a personal example. There's been times in my life, like in yours, but there's been times in my life where something is so pressurized. Something is so complex. I've been trying to deal with it, but I just can't, and it just keeps getting bigger, and as it gets bigger, it feels weightier, and as it gets weightier, it's becoming worse, and I don't know what to do, and I can feel myself, you know, wanting to be panicked. I can feel fear. I can feel anxiety, frustration, all of these things that I don't want. I can feel them building, and I don't know how to regulate that. There are times when I go into prayer with God, and I realize I don't have the words. But I have received this ability to begin to pray, listen, not from my brain that's tangled up, but to pray from deep in my spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to communicate with God. And here's what I can tell you from personal experience, and anybody who's used this will agree with me, I'm sure. Even though my brain in that moment still has no idea what I'm saying, my brain just might be, you know, kind of lost in the beehive of all the complexities of what's going on. In my spirit, I can literally experience I am communicating from the depth of my heart to God. I can feel all the stress. I can feel all of the pressure. I can feel all the questions and the confusion. And I can't tell you exactly the words that I'm communicating, but I can tell you that I am communicating straight from my heart or from my spirit. I'm communicating very accurately back to God. And it makes a significant difference, at least just in my composure, in my composition. I mean, when I'm done with that, I feel like, oh, okay. I still have no idea how I'm going to handle this, but boy, I got all that off my chest. All the pressure's gone. I know that God hears what I said. I know that I communicated with the help of the Holy Spirit. I communicated everything exactly the way I needed to communicate it to Him, even though my brain's like, what did we say? What did we say? I don't know. But I can tell you that we said everything we needed to say. And I'm just telling you, it's one of those God experiences. By the way, I'm using the illustration about negative pressure and things, and that's all true. But I do it just as often when life is so wonderful that I don't know how to say that big enough. I did it in this weekend with my daughter's wedding, and when it was all over, and I spent some time before I went to bed last night, tears streaming down my face, so excited and so happy for her. I don't know how to describe all of the emotions going on, but I know that in my spiritual language I can. And I spent some time thanking the Lord. I spent some time giving Him praise. I spent some time praying over my daughter and her new husband and as they went off into this life together. And I really can't tell you all the things that I said, but in my heart, there was no mistake. There's such a confidence that comes. It's like from my heart, my spirit to God's ears. And there's such a confirmation that comes to you. So the prayer language is one of those times where you just get to bypass any limitation. Here's the important thing you need to realize. What Jesus wanted you to have as a Christian, He never, ever, ever wanted you to be stumped. Never. He never, ever, ever wanted you to feel stuck. He never wanted you to feel like you were by yourself and you don't even know how to communicate. Never, ever, ever. And I'm telling you, since I've received the language of the Spirit, and as the more that I learn to depend and trust it, I never am. Now, there's times you say, what are you going to do? I have no idea. Legitimately, I have no idea what I'm going to do. But I also have a confidence that God knows, and it's all going to be taken care of because we've spent time communicating in the Spirit. I don't know in my brain, it's kind of mysterious right now, but in my heart, it's crystal clear. Crystal clear. And that's something that's only a supernatural thing, but it's available to every single believer. And Jesus highly recommends, in fact, if I'm being honest, he commanded us to get all that the Holy Spirit has to offer, and this is part of it. Here's number two. Speaking in tongues strengthens our spirit, strengthens our spirit. We don't think about the fact that our spirit needs to be replenished and needs to be strengthened. There's a lot of talk in our culture and in our world about our physical health and, you know, making sure that you're finding times to replenish and renew and all different kinds of perspectives on diet and sleep and exercise and all that to keep the physical part of us. There's also lots of studies that see the crossover. If you're physically feeling good and you're fit, then emotionally that has a very positive impact on you. And a lot of studies on your emotional intelligence, your emotional quotient, and how to keep those emotions high. There's other studies on intellectual quotient and how do you stimulate yourself intellectually so you keep growing over and over. But there's just not a lot of talk, at least not outside of the Christian circle, about the importance of spiritual replenishing. However, if you're a Christian, you need to understand you are using spiritual energy all the time. I mean on a regular basis. Proverbs says that it's your spirit that will sustain you through infirmities, through hard times. When you get into challenges, it's your spirit that rises up to the defense. It's your spirit that kind of fortifies and holds you up. And we don't often understand that your spirit, like physical strength, needs to be replenished. That's part of the reason we come to church, to be fed and to be refreshed so that we can walk out feeling like, okay, all right, we can do this. But your spirit is really important. And so the Bible says that speaking in tongues, here's the way I equate it, is like plugging your spirit into a cell phone charger. If you're like me, man, I'm just embarrassed to admit how much I need my smartphone. It has everything on it. It's like makes me mobile. I got my whole office with me, all my emails and my texts and a lot of documents and all kinds of things. I take it with me. So I am meticulously careful about keeping batteries and keeping a charger handy because when that thing goes dead, I'm dead in the water sometimes. But I have to equate that and realize my spirit needs to be charged. My spirit needs to be charged, and speaking in tongues does that. Listen to Jude chapter 1, verse 20 says, but you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. We've read it a couple of times already in different translations, but 1 Corinthians 14:4 says, a person who speaks in tongues is strengthening is strengthened personally. So here's what I've learned. This is not just a church thing. It's not just kind of during a worship service. It doesn't matter what you're doing, whether you're preparing for a business meeting, whether you're just kind of getting ready for the day and you're about to step out into family life, whether you're preparing for some kind of service with God, or whether you're wrestling with a challenge under pressure from circumstances or the enemy. Speaking in tongues will strengthen or reinforce you spiritually or internally so that you can move forward in what God has for you to do boldly and with confidence, and you can move out in faith. And it's just a benefit. And I don't know how to tell you any other way, but the cell phone charger, you plug it in, and it just trickle charges, and it'll build you right back up again. Here's the third one, and we'll end here. Speaking in tongues refills our spiritual reservoir. Speaking in tongues refills our spiritual reservoir. Now, here's the difference between the cell phone charger, building yourself up, and the spiritual reservoir. The cell phone charger is to build you up so you have strength. The spiritual reservoir is to fill you up so you can pour out into somebody else. It's to fill you up so you can pour out into somebody else. Listen to Ephesians chapter 5. This has all been the Apostle Paul writing about this, but he's writing to different churches. Here to the church at Ephesus, he said, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. The New King James Version says, because it dissipates. Let me kind of make a cultural connection that, you know, it kind of bleeds over into the church and secular and everybody. But there's this kind of this common approach that a lot of people take, you know, when things are hard. Oh, I need a drink. And it's not that they're admitting a dependence on alcohol necessarily, but what they're trying to communicate is there's something about, you know, whatever their alcoholic beverage is that has a calming effect. That has, it kind of resets them and kind of gives them a little bit of a refresh, like, oh, okay, now I'm back. And here's what Paul's saying. He's saying, listen, don't allow alcoholic beverages to be your relief of choice. It says, instead, be filled or refilled with the Holy Spirit. And here's why he's already implied, because the alcoholic beverage, it might work for a little bit and it's quick and it's easy and you feel it in your flesh, but it dissipates. Then it's over and you're right back to the same thing again. But when you're with the Holy Spirit, you'll be filled up and man, this thing goes with you and it begins to move in supernatural ways in your life. So it's not just temporary in the moment, but the filling of the Holy Spirit moves throughout your whole life and actually makes life better. And so he says, instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Listen how the filling comes. Singing psalms and hymns, and notice, spiritual songs. Spiritual songs. Among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. Now, let me just tell you something. Some of you know, some of you may not. There's not a Sunday goes by, and I'm not exaggerating this, that I am not singing in two different languages the whole worship service. I'm singing the words that are on the screen because they are declarations of who Jesus is and what he's done for me. But there are times when the words on the screen become so big and are so real to me. Either I'm believing God for something or I'm recognizing what God has done. There are times when it becomes so big that, quite frankly, I don't feel like the words on the screen, as profound as they are cutting it for me. So I'll just shift over and I begin to sing in the Spirit. Now, you don't know that because I'm not singing loud. I don't grab a microphone. It's between me and the Lord. I'm making this melody right on the spot. I'm making it to him in my heart. I do that quite often when I am not in a church service. I'm constantly just praying in the Spirit or singing in the Spirit. And one of the benefits about your mind not having to figure it all out is I can be doing something else. I can be working on another project, and yet I'm singing in the Spirit or praying in the Spirit, and I've just put my mind to work, and my spirit is recharging, or my spirit is ministering with or to the Lord, and I can do two things at the same time, and they never conflict with each other. It's a really great thing, and it really works of just building and refilling yourself. It does exactly what the Lord does. So the daily life, the being refilled, the being recharged, the ability to never get stuck, those are the primary benefits we see in the New Testament. We're running out of time, so let me just kind of end it right here. If you're here this morning and you are a Christian and you've already have received the gift of tongues, then what I want you to hear is an encouragement to not let that be a one and done event, not let that be something that you do when you're just, you know, in a spirit-filled environment and somebody says, hey, let's pray in the Spirit for a minute, but let that become part of the regular part of your life and revisit that. Let it deepen your personal relationship with the Lord. That's primarily what it's for. It's primarily a personal gift that we also get to use in corporate places, but it's a personal gift. If you're here today and you've received the gift of speaking in tongues, but it just never kind of clicked, you know, you're just not satisfied with it. Or if you're here today and you're a Christian and you've never received it, I just want to give you two things that the Bible says, so simple. In fact, it's so simple, we complicate it. So simple, we complicate it. Here's two things that you could receive your spiritual language and be able to begin to participate in this. I mean, like right away. And I'm going to tell you what they are, and then I'm going to give you one scripture and we're done. Here's what they are. Super simple. If you're a Christian, you simply need to ask the Lord, would you baptize me in the Holy Spirit? You don't have to put any like religious language to it. Just plain. If you're saying, I'm a little nervous about this, tell him that. Hey, I'm a little nervous about this, but if it's in the Bible and you say it's really important, then I'm going to trust you. Would you baptize me in the Holy Spirit? Here's what Luke 11:13 promises. It says that your heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Every single person. You don't have to wonder, will he? And no, yeah, he will. Jesus paid for it, and he wants you to have this more intimate communication. Here's number two, and this is where people get really complicated about it. I did too for a while. He says, after you've asked him, and here, listen, then you just begin to speak out in faith. And that's where your mind says, wait, what? Because I didn't learn anything. Yeah, I know. You just start opening your mouth, and you just begin to make sounds, and you trust the Holy Spirit that he's going to do what he promised he would do. Listen to Acts 2:4. It says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I read that for years and years, and I thought, well, yeah, I get that, until somebody read it for me a little more carefully. It says that they were baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So they had to begin to open their mouth. Like everything in the Christian life, speaking in tongues is something you do in faith. It's something you take that first step just because of what God said, and the Holy Spirit supplies the sounds and the words. Your brain's not going to know what you're saying anyway. And so you just trust him enough to start opening your mouth. Some people, when they're prayed for, they ask the Holy Spirit immediately. It happens. And other people have to kind of start stepping out in faith. And it's like a baby learns a language. They're making a sound and a sound and a sound and a sound. And they're kind of wondering, is this even real? But the Holy Spirit, it doesn't take very much time. The Holy Spirit begins to confirm, and they begin to experience this. Listen to me. Here's what's important. Whether you experience a spiritual language immediately, or it's something that's a little more progressive and you kind of have to lean into it, either way, it's not learned. It's not something that you ever learn. Both approaches have to be received by faith, and both of them will seem a little strange to your natural mind at first. But welcome to Christianity. It's a lot of things we do that our natural mind's like, are you sure? Yeah, the Bible says this is how it works. And when you begin to recognize, no, this is normal, and you begin to step in, then God proves that his time is the best. And so we see this all over Christianity, so let me just encourage you to do that. So here's what I'm going to do this morning. We're going to end service this morning. For those of you that are from a Pentecostal or a spiritual background, you're like, is that even going to work? Well, yeah, the Bible says it will, so we're just going to trust him. So I'm going to have, in just a minute, I'm going to have you stand. I'm just going to have you hold your hands out like this. It's between you and the Lord. If this is something you want, I'm going to say a pretty simple prayer, and then we're going to dismiss. And for those of you that would like to receive a prayer language, we're going to have a prayer and altar team come down. You just need to walk down here. They're not going to do anything weird. They're just going to put their hands on you and say, Holy Spirit, give them their prayer language. And they're going to pray with you for just a couple of minutes. And then you're going to walk out, and you're going to let the Holy Spirit do what he does. Really simple, no pressure, no big pizzazz or anything, because I want this to be real. I want it to be relevant in your life. But I promise you, the Holy Spirit is faithful, and this stuff will change your life, because Jesus really wanted us to have it so that we can have a deeper communication with him. All right, stand to your feet this morning. Put your hands out just like this. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you loved us so much, that you sent Jesus not just to die so that all of our sins could be forgiven and we could have heaven as your home, but also so that we could receive the Holy Spirit and everything that he has to offer. Lord Jesus, I'm asking everybody who's asking you right now in their heart, baptize them in the Holy Spirit right now. And Holy Spirit, would you come and would you give them the ability to pray in the spiritual language? Whatever's going on in their brain, just shut that down for a moment and help them to trust you in this childlike faith and just begin to open themselves up and pray in the Spirit. And in Jesus' name, as they do, we just believe that you're bigger than circumstances. You're bigger than any other context, that you'll do what you promised you would do. And we thank you for the gift of the Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues for all of those who ask this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for more messages. If you like what you're hearing, share it with your friends. For more content from Lakeshore and information on services, check us out at lakeshorecf.com.